Thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place, and also with the one who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Venite. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice.
O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him but a little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have domain over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in this image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have food for them. You should have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they are created. The word of the Lord.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. For behold, darkness covers the land, deep gloom enshrouds the peoples. But over you the Lord will rise, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will stream to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Your gates will always be open. By day or night they will never be shut. They will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Violence will no more be heard in your land, ruin or destruction within your borders. You will call your walls salvation, and all your portals praise. The sun will no more be your light by day. By night you will not need the brightness of the moon. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Canticle 13. Glory to you, Lord God of our fathers. You are worthy of praise. Glory to you. Glory to you for the radiance of your holy name. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever. Glory to you in the splendor of your temple. On the throne of your majesty, glory to you. Glory to you, seated between the cherubim. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever. Glory to you, beholding the depths and the high vault of heaven, glory to you. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will praise you and highly exalt you forever.
Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Genesis 1, in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the deep and breathed into the chaos, "Let there be light." One of the most well-known and beautiful texts and stories of Holy Scripture, known to Christians and non-Christians alike. the story of creation, 7 days. And on the seventh, God rested. It's good. It's rich. It's interpreted wildly differently depending on where you are, who you are, and maybe what time. People have turned again and again to this text to tell us so much about ourselves, to tell us so much about how the world was created. And that is a lot of times fraught. I remember I had a friend many years ago who was pointing to scripture to point out the obvious fact that dinosaurs never really existed. He said, look, man, God created the world in 6 days. That's what it says. It's like, man, but what about dinosaurs? What about like tectonic plates, the making of mountains, you know, the movement of the seas? It's like, nah, man, nah. Dinosaurs never existed. He's like, look, if there's a God who can create all things, don't you think he could just like put dinosaur bones in the earth? I was like, well, yeah, that doesn't seem inconceivable of a God who can like make light out of nothing itself. Yes, it seems possible, but why? But why would God play this cosmic joke on us? Why would God go to all this work to like pretend that dinosaurs existed and that ancient, you know, forests happened just so that he could actually make diamonds that we thought were made out of old dead wood but aren't, or oil out of, you know, old crustaceans that never really existed? So that seems like a lot. That seems like a lot of effort for a joke that no one really gets. People have tried to use the scripture to understand the machinations of the world and like force our worldview into this, which makes no sense. We can let go of the hardness in our hearts and the frustration because scripture itself, Genesis 1, is never trying to be a full explanation of science and creation, right? It's not even really trying to explain who we are. You see, as a matter of fact, the first universities began as an exploration of nature, of God's creation. The first universities were theological institutions where it said if God made the trees of the earth and the flowers of the field, maybe we should study those flowers. If God made the stars of the sky, maybe we should look up and study the stars. And so this began our theological exploration of astronomy and botany and then biology and later on physics and now astrophysics. Maybe science and math itself is the exploration of God's creation and universe. And the more we discover, the more in love we fall in love with God. Maybe the more we discover from the Hubble telescope, see, looking out into the far reaches of the universe, more we discover the glory, the profoundness of God's creation. But like I said, it's not intended to teach us even, not just about the world, it's not even intended to teach us necessarily about ourselves. The authors of Genesis wanted to tell us something about the nature of God, who God is. And if we can wrap our minds around this, then we're going to see this theme of who God is through all of the Old Testament, kind of like weaving a tapestry where the thread goes through all of the cloth, through the whole story, a single thread that can go from the beginning of Genesis. We'll go all the way through the Old Testament, and it begins again. It starts again with Jesus Christ. And the story isn't necessarily about us. It's about God. Who is God? What is the nature of God? And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something about love. We say God is love. Oftentimes in weddings, people want to read 1 Corinthians 1 through 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is not rude. Love is not jealous. I was thinking of this, especially love is not jealous, recently. My wife and sweet, sweet daughter, Naomi, had an opportunity to travel to Paris, to France. Their uncle paid for their trip, and they said, absolutely, if you're buying, we're going. So they're traveling abroad, and I'm trying to convince my youngest daughter not to be jealous of her older sister. And I was trying to explain to her, I say, you know, you don't have to be jealous. We can be happy because we love her. Yes, she's having an adventure that you're not having right now. She's doing something that you're not experiencing. But love is not jealous. As a matter of fact, love celebrates her joy. I love my daughter so much. I love her more than the moon, the stars, more than the breath within me. I love her so much, and I'm excited for her. I can't possibly. There's no room left for jealousy. I'm not jealous that she's out having this amazing time and eating stinky French cheeses and beautiful baguettes and walking, you know, through the Notre Dame. I can't possibly be jealous because I'm so overwhelmed with joy for her that I don't want her to have this experience, that I want her to feel and taste and smell something new and wonderful. And in her joy, therefore, my joy is complete. There's something about that, the profoundness of love, that, as a matter of fact, she calls me every night to tell me about her adventures, and I would stay on the phone for hours with her, because I love her, I need her. It's like I need her little voice, I need to see the world through her eyes, I need her in my life. That's what love is. When you love somebody, you want to hold them tight, you want to hold them close, you want to wrap your arms around them and be with them. Years ago, we had an associate bishop who was famous for very long sermons. And I mean, sermons that are like 45 minutes at least. He'd preach like a 10-minute, 15-minute sermon and say, okay, that's my introduction. And everybody would have that look of panic in their eyes. But one time I asked him, I said, Bishop Murray, why are you preaching so long? He said, because I love these congregations. I love these people. And when you love somebody, you don't want to rush past them. You want to spend time with them. You want to be with them and talk to them and speak to them and laugh with them and cry with them. We believe that God is all things, that God is through all things. We believe in a God who's above and below and beyond all of our imagination. And yet God needed us. And yet God breathed out, let there be light, and began this motion, this process, this evolution of light and dark, of creating the worlds and the planets and the galaxies and this fragile earth, our island home. He began separating the waters. He began planting the trees. And what that process is, man, Genesis certainly doesn't understand it. Maybe we talk about that as evolution now. Maybe we talk about it over the millions of years or hundreds of millions of years and the process by which God is forming his creation. But we believe that God was here all the while. And yet, as the world is coming into its perfection, that God said, it's not enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough with the dinosaurs. It's not good enough, right, with the crustaceans. That there was something in God that was missing until he made us, until human beings could walk the earth. That there's something in God saying, I am not yet complete. My joy is not yet complete. And he says, he doesn't make us. Human beings aren't made. And again, this isn't supposed to tell us about evolution or our biology, but about our theological purpose for being. They said somehow we are made in the image of God. That somehow male and female, we both are created in God's image. That somehow God is somehow kind of like us. But he said, at least in the sense of God needed and desired to be in relationship. That to have the whole world, to have the whole universe, to have all the planets and their courses is not sufficient for God. He said, it's still not enough until he made humans, until he made us. And he looks down and he says, and now it's enough. That God made us so that he could be in relationship with us. So that my daughter can't conceive of how deeply I love her. She can't process the depths of my love. She can't understand. She thinks that she needs me to like provide her with food and a house and take her to school and according to her, to like buy her really nice things and apparently to fly her around the world. But she can't understand how much more I need her in my life. I need her. My love is not complete without her. My love is not complete without my younger daughter or without my wife or without my friends or maybe without you. I need these people in my life. That I wasn't made to be alone, that God's own self didn't desire to be alone. And then begins this long story of God trying to be with us and of us running away. Look, we see this with kids all the time, usually as they become like teenagers, right? About 12, 13, they start to push away, they start to rebel. And you see that hollow look in most parents' eyes who have teenagers and say, it's awful, it's hard. They become emotional. They become wild. They want to push away from the people who love them the most. And maybe that's part of our maturity, that's part of our growth, you know, and that's normal human behavior. But we see the same thing with the people of God, that they keep pushing away, where God's only desire is to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they rebel. That God reveals himself to Abraham. He says, I'll make you a mighty nation. Just be with me. Just hang out with me. Just know me. Teach your children and grandchildren about me. And people keep pushing away. The Israelites keep running from God. To Moses, he says, I'll make you a mighty leader. But teach your people to be with me, to walk with me, to know me. Just do this thing. Just don't worship any other gods. Just don't set up any false idols. Just don't turn your hearts away from me. And that's all I desire. And again, we refuse. And so finally, God said, I'm going to do the ultimate thing. I'm going to come and show you what it means. It's Emmanuel, that God is with us. That God literally came down to grab us, to hold us, to show us the profoundness of his love, to say, I love you so much. I love you so much. I would come and live with you in this broken and terrible world. I would walk with you and I would suffer with you. I would give my life for you. What do we give to Jesus? We don't give our lives to, we don't sacrifice our lives on the cross for Jesus. He sacrificed his life for us. God is with us. That God's own purpose is to be in relationship with us. And all we have to do is stop fighting it. All we have to do is stop running. Stop rejecting God and worshiping the idols of our own making, whether that idol today be wealth or consumerism or our ego or the idol of pride or the idol of anger or the idol of guns or the idol of our politicians and our politics or the idols of celebrity, whatever it is that we set up that consumes our heart, that consumes our mind, that consumes our time, that we've replaced with God. Genesis reminds us of the beauty of all things, that God would make all of creation again and again and again just to be with us, just the way we are, in our flawedness and our brokenness and the depravity of our humanity. That God loves us so much that he would go to every length, that he would create the cosmos itself just to reveal himself to us. And this is the God we worship, the God of life, the God of creation, the God who is love itself. Amen.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Let your people sing with joy. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world, for only in you can we live in safety. Lord, keep this nation under your care and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of this life we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.